Time to mount up, 9 o'clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty as we are joined by our good friend. Good friend might be a stretch. We don't really know him yet. We're starting to get to know him. Hell with it. Good friend Josh Briscoe joins us now as our Chiefs contributor. Mr. Briscoe, how are you, sir?
I'm good. And now I feel like I got to start weaving in some more personal facts each week. Just so you get one little thing about me, I get one little thing about you guys. We'll be good friends by the end of the season if we're not already.
Do you bring your own condiments to a restaurant?
Oh, God, Bob. No. Condiments? No.
Condiments, yes.
Yeah. No, I thought we were getting so much more personal so much earlier in the morning than I intended. I'll generally trust the restaurant to provide the sauces that they see fit. You know,
ooh, that's a great point. Like, trust the restaurants to give you the condiments necessary for the food they're serving. Yeah,
you got to trust the food scientists back there at McDonald's or Arby's or whatever.
That's right.
I mean, there's probably a sliding scale to it, but I respect a good fast food sauce. Or certainly, I mean, I had a real restaurant. You're not like sneaking in ketchup packets, are you?
Well, we were telling the story earlier with the San Antonio's on Saturday. My friend brought her own sour cream with her because they don't provide it there.
Boy, sour cream's an interesting one. That's perishable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, that's even trickier than like, I just can't live without my Arby's sauce. I think sour cream is on the wrong side of that line for me because I at least keep my sour cream refrigerated.
Right, you have to. Yeah, and it wasn't packed in ice. It was a nice little plastic bag, but,
that's tough.
Okay, no, that's a new one to me. Okay.
And then the last personal question we did today, if you could do one karaoke song, what is it?
I was forged in some pop punk fires, so I'll go put my soul on the line for a little Panic at the Disco usually.
I chimed in with it, haven't you? Yeah. Let's talk about this game on Sunday because I was blown away by how much of a man Chris Jones was on that play where he grabbed a guy by his shirt and threw him down to the ground. But also I was pretty taken aback that Travis Kelce, man, he showed up in Vegas.
Yep, he sure did. And look, I think it's such a perfect button for what his first half of the season has been. A lot of the narratives around Travis Kelce, I think almost all of these I'm referring to, were coming from outside of Kansas City, maybe a national misunderstanding of what was happening. But so much of that breathless, like, he's fat, he doesn't care, he just drank all offseason, that was all silly to all of us who saw him at training camp be out there for that entire the ringer that Andy Reid runs you through throughout camp. He's played a ton this season. He's even looked okay when he's not been the only thing on the field that a defense has had to pay attention to. And yesterday, I think we saw a little bit of a loosening up both from Mahomes, who had another kind of Mahomes-y performance where he's making things happen outside of the pocket, not bailing from pressure prematurely, at least not as often as he had in earlier weeks. And as the rest of the offense kind of found its footing in different spots, you saw him go back to Travis Kelce with a stat line that looks a lot more familiar. And shockingly, everyone, he didn't forget how to play football from 2023 to 2024. He's been the only thing defenses have had to respect by and large, and when he has had help, Juju Smith-Schuster goes for 100 and whatever yards. Mm-hmm. So the gravity of this offense, I think, is balancing back out a little bit, and Travis Kelce is still finding open spots in space late in the set of downs. Third and six, there's still nobody you would hate to see more across from you as a defense than Travis Kelce, and I just don't think we can lose sight of that fact even at 35.
No, he still is just a remarkable player and can turn a game on a dime anytime you give him that opportunity. But as we all know now, and I think most people know, Travis Kelce isn't here to win in September and October and even November. He's here to win in January and February, and when the games matter, then we're going to really see Travis Kelce. And in January, Josh, it can be a lot of fun. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be fully into this offense right now. Travis Kelce is going to be where he is. January is going to be a lot of fun watching these guys.
And you might just see Marquise Hollywood Brown out there bringing this offense together in that way as well. I was heartened by what we saw from DeAndre Hopkins right away as well. I had expectations that he'd see the field and that he'd get the ball a couple of times. I'm glad that that happened. But he was open more often than he got the football. And I really think, to your point, the idea of Travis Kelce paying off who he's going to be in the playoffs, that happened last year to a certain extent,
yes,
right?
It did.
I mean, just letting that 1,000-yard season go, getting one extra little week of rest there. there at the end of the year, and then a totally rejuvenated Travis Kelce. The plan early in the season, again, we saw with Hollywood in camp, but especially with Rashee Rice the first few weeks, the plan was we're going to run the offense through these wide receivers and then have Travis Kelce be the deadliest complimentary piece in football. Injuries throw you off that plan there. Now, Worthy is still kind of an off-speed pitch. Hopkins obviously still getting into the offense, but if Hollywood is back in time for that playoff run as well, I think you're going to see a truer version of what plan A looked like for this offense. And yeah, I would hate to run into that. I mean, certainly anyone hates to see the Chiefs in the playoffs, yeah, but it's very exciting to think about a healthier, more functional, more well-rounded version of this offense coming into form at the perfect time.
Well, and you're supposed to get Hollywood Brown back hopefully in December. And I think next week is the week, if you're looking to make a prediction, I think this is the week DeAndre Hopkins is going to break out against the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and I think we saw this with Kareem Hunt, right, where there was a chance for him to get a touchdown on the road in his first game, and he didn't actually score until he got to Arrowhead. I was thinking about it when the Chiefs, what ended up being the Xavier Worthy touchdown yesterday. I had the thought of like, oh man, you know, maybe Andy's going to go ahead. I think Piran got that touchdown on the road, right? Mm-hmm. For that first Hunt game. I thought, oh, well, maybe we're going to see the DeAndre Hopkins red zone play here. I was very glad that they ended up going to Worthy because his day had been kind of up and down, and I think at least one drop in the contested and, you know, not being quite on the same page as Mahomes. I'm glad they went back to Worthy there because it did kind of boost that stat line a little bit, get him to end on a more positive note. They have to keep going back to Worthy. They just have to make it work. But then I thought, well, also, maybe you get a little Monday night primetime Arrowhead touchdown for DeAndre Hopkins, his first in a Chiefs uniform. Those pieces are coming together, so I think I'm with you. Next week feels like a little bit of a welcome to Chiefs Kingdom moment for DeAndre Hopkins.
Do we see the continued addition of a lot of Noah Gray in this offense? Because I kind of like what I see with that option. I know he wasn't as effective as he was the week before, but having him on like those certain type of plays, those little 5-yard, you know, up and outs, or those little drags through the middle where they forget about everybody but him, it seems like his addition in this offense, plus you throw in a little DeAndre Hopkins, maybe also be one of those things that's kind of contributing to the Travis Kelce uptick this time of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this is not in any way, I don't mean this to be like a backhanded compliment to Noah Gray, but he's the guy that defenses kind of let themselves forget about, or at least not prioritize. And then when he ends up in that moment, I cannot think of a time that he has dropped a pass that should have been a first down. I can't think of a time where they went to Noah Gray and he wasn't in the spot where Mahomes wanted him to be. There is a level of consistency there as a tertiary weapon in this offense that you have to have. Again, to that point about Kelce, whenever you know that you have some other options, it changes the gravity of the defense and it opens things back up for Mahomes. Mahomes looks like he settled a little bit, even with Max Crosby opposite him. Juwan Taylor had an unbelievable game, by the way. I don't know if you guys have touched on that very much. I don't think Crosby technically got a pressure on Wanya either. Wanya not as good of a day. That's a little bit, I'll give my credit to Taylor. Yeah, I'll give my credit to Juwan Taylor there. But as Mahomes feels more like himself, he can use, I mean, again, this wasn't the most eye-popping game for Gray, but finding that ensemble cast that can raise the level of this offense, I think it's all so intertwined that you can really point and give credit to almost anybody who's involved in that mix. It was nice to see Justin Watson actually get 3 targets, actually get 3 catches, actually move the chains after he'd just been running cardio for so much of the season. So a lot of small victories in that game yesterday, I think, despite the fact that it was against not a very good football team.
Are you concerned with the now injuries affecting on the defensive side? Another corner goes down for the Chiefs, and we're, what, 6 days away from the trade deadline?
Yeah, I am, and I'm having a little bit of a hard time talking myself into the Chiefs trading for a corner just because they've been so bullish on their in-house options, but I don't know how many options you can lose before you start to look around and say, all right, is Chris Roland Wallace going to be starting in a Super Bowl in a few months? I don't know. Obviously, Nasir Johnson with the concussion, they're not expecting to be out for as long as Jalen Watson. The Watson loss is a massive one. You saw that at times yesterday, even though I think the linebackers and safeties, especially in the first half, had a little bit of a rougher day. In coverage, also, you know, many good men have fallen to Brock Bowers already at this time in
his career.
He's
good, so man. He's special. Good. Yeah, he's legit. Like, man, I wish we could kidnap him and bring him back
to
Kansas
City. And he looks older than Travis Kelce.
He does. Yeah. He really does. So, but we're 7-0, getting ready to take on Tampa, who I thought a couple of weeks ago may be a good test. They're without their top two receivers. Should be previewing a game next Monday with you, Josh, and the Chiefs should be moving to 8-0 next Monday night.
I think they will be. I think you're right. That Baker Mayfield back there, one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch in football, but it's a lot less fun when he has no receivers to throw to, which might be a nice little chance for the Chiefs to recalibrate on Monday night. So
all right.
Look forward to talking to you about that.
Give us two truths and one lie before we get out of here.
Boy, two truths and one lie off the top of the dome. What a degree of difficulty.
That's right.
I once asked Guy Fieri if a hot dog was technically an American taco. I've skydived 3 times in my life, and I have recorded the highest blood sugar of anyone I've ever met in person.
All right, we'll get you back next Monday and see if the text line can figure out which two are the truths and which one is the lie. And Flavortown USA is our SI.com Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe. We'll talk to you next Monday.
I'll have to see if I can remember which one was true.
No doubt about it. There you go, Josh Briscoe, Chief Contributor. Love that. Love that every Monday. And Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. It's Mac Morey. It's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Morey. Fesco Likens here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
He was healthy, right?
Yes.
Did the Ravens lose?
They did.
Oh, to who? Cleveland. Oh, Jameis Winston out there just God-fearing quarterback.
Jameis Winston
just
eating W's out there.
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire, named Eminem. Mm-hmm. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
So that's Jameis Winston after the game getting that big win yesterday. And, you know, they're not going to lose as long as Derrick Henry is healthy. They've now lost 3 times with a healthy Derrick Henry. They've lost to the Raiders. They've lost to the Browns. And obviously, they've lost to the Chiefs. But Jay Binkley's out here quote-tweeting Matt McMullen, friend of the show, Chiefs reporter. Mm. He says, the Chiefs have now held 28 consecutive opponents to under 28 total points, right? They've not given up more than 28 points since that game against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Mm. Jay Binkley quote-tweets it, and Mac Morey retweets it. In contrast, the Ravens have given up at least 29 in 3 of the last 4 games. Binkley is on a one-man crusade to let America know how fraudulent the Baltimore Ravens really are. And you can't live in the moment when you're judging which teams are good in the NFL. You have to live with their body of work. And right now, the Baltimore Ravens are 1 game better than being a very middling average team at 4-4. They're 5-3. They're 1 game better, but they're a very just slightly above average football team right now based on their record and based on their defense. And if they didn't have Derrick Henry, where would they be right now? Honestly, like, where would they be without Derrick Henry right now? They may not have a win to speak about if they don't have Derrick Henry on their team right now, because this defense is not good, and everybody's living in this world where the Ravens defense is just good because it used to be good. Jay Binkley's out here holding people accountable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He'll come get you. As you read a couple of those tweets earlier that he had,
he doesn't have time for it. Neither do I.
I think the thing that's finally come like full circle with the Chiefs and like, cause like Binkley, you know, Bink knows football.
Yes, he does.
Right.
Yes.
And you know, he's a KC alum. He's a Kansas City diehard. We know that he wears his passion on his sleeve, but he also like gives you like without totally sounding like a homer or being biased, like he's giving you facts.
Right.
Like people were out here saying that Baltimore was this, this, and that, and then they want to say the Chiefs are boring. But the Chiefs win because on the defensive side of the football, they can shut down an offense. That's why when people are like, you know, oh, well, if the Chiefs play Detroit, I'd love to see that game. They can put up 50 when they want against everybody but Kansas City, right?
Like nobody's put up 30 since the Eagles Super Bowl on this defense, guys.
Right. And I mean, I think Matt McMillan, who you just mentioned, had a tweet that he sent out that the Chiefs now have played 28 consecutive games where they've held teams under 28 or more points. Right. That is a record.
Yeah, that's like two full seasons of football.
Right. And I think when you look at that and you think about the severity of that, like, that's what's different. Like, he says it here. He says the Chiefs have now held 28 consecutive opponents under 28 total points, including the playoffs. It's the longest streak for any team in 17 seasons.
It's insane.
And when Binkley, like Brock tells me from the old number fives, he knows football more than he knows his own, your own family. Like, right. He knows football more than you know your own family. Put a chow in your mouth. Right. And, like, that's the thing. It's like all these, you know, people, I say people because I don't know how many people said it or who they were, but Greenberg, for example, want to tell you that Baltimore is the team to beat, yet they don't beat the Chiefs. So it's like, okay, well, they lost by a toe and it was first game of the season. And it's like, you can have that take. But
they've also backed it up with Cleveland and Oakland losing to those teams.
And that's what I'm saying. They played, I believe, in Vegas and lost.
Right.
And people be like, well, it's a road game. You know, it's tough. AFC. It's like, but the Chiefs didn't lose that game.
Correct.
But it's like, yeah, well, it's the Chiefs. It's like, well, then stop putting these other teams ahead of them because it's not flashy, because it's not a Maserati, because it might be a Honda Civic. It's still going forward every single day and not stopping and not having issues. Like, the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Record would tell you wise. Longevity would tell you wise. So every year when something is hot and flashy, like, it's fine to let them know that they're good, but let's not go out here and say, well, no one can beat them, because they've now lost three times and two of those teams are in the AFC West. And like,
and two of those teams stink.
And the Raiders beat you, the Browns beat you, and you lost to the Chiefs, your number one, you know, threat.
Right.
Don't say they're better. Like, until the Chiefs proved last year, were the Chiefs the best team in the AFC? No. The Ravens were, without a doubt. But at the end of the year, what matters, the Chiefs knew how to win. The Ravens have yet to decide that because Lamar can't win the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing that if they're not in the lead in the second half and they can't just run the ball, they have a struggle to win because they go three and out and they let their defense ruin it for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, it's the classic example of the national media giving a team more credit for coming close and losing than giving a team like the Chiefs credit for finding ways to win every single time. We love to praise these teams. Oh, look how close they were. Look how hard they fought. Look how close they were. Look how hard they fought. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are just going over here running roughshod over everybody, beating people by, you know, by about a touchdown per game.
Raiders beat them in Baltimore, by the way.
Oh, Raiders beat them in Baltimore. Okay, yeah. So yeah, that's right. It was in Baltimore. That's right, because they started here and then had the home. So the Raiders went on the road and won that game.
That's
so
right.
What's that
Gardner Cashew.
Right. So you've got a team that is coming close but not winning, yet getting more credit than what the Chiefs are because they've been the new toy. And again, it's exactly like we see every year on Christmas. You get these new gifts and you open them up, and by the time the middle of the year runs around, you're playing with the same stuff, right? Where's the new? I don't know what anymore. You're playing with the same stuff. You're playing with the same toys, right? Because they're always there. They're always reliable and they're always the best. And that's what the Chiefs are. And so we spend all this time finding faux teams, I guess you could say, that you think can challenge the Chiefs and can be better than the Chiefs. And you just want so bad for somebody to be better than the Chiefs. And then you just throw your hands up at the end of the season and go, why do we do this every year and pick against the team that is truly the best from top to bottom in the National Football League? There are no cracks in this foundation, man. Yeah. From ownership on down, it is as solid an organization as you will ever find. And people are tired of them being on top. So we're going to praise a 5-3 team that lost to the Raiders and the Browns and say they're good.
The Chiefs are the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich, right? There was a time where everybody was like, oh man, we're going to come out with our own version of spicy chicken. Popeyes had one, KFC had one, you know, all these people had one. Were they good and different? Yes. But everyone would be like, well, the Chick-fil-A sandwich is boring. It's pickles, a chicken, and a bun. It's like, yeah, but isn't it good and get the job done? Yeah, it does. And guess where everybody went back to originally? They went back to the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yep.
That's what the Chiefs are. Yeah, there's moments where it's like, man, that Popeyes one's great. It's getting everybody's attention. Yeah, but does it hold up for the long period of time?
And are you going back for a second trip to Popeyes, or do you see Chick-fil-A and you're going, I know what I'm going to get.
You know
it's really
good,
right?
Even though it's simple and it's pickles, it's chicken. Do you add a little sauce to it? Probably. You do that everywhere. But like, it's there. You know what it is. You know you're going to get what you get, and you always seem to go to the well for that Everywhere else, yeah, they might have a good one. But you know what? It's never better than the original.
No,
and that's just what it is.
It just is. It is that way. I think that's a good analogy to use with the chicken sandwich because everybody was going to eat every week. It was somebody different. And this was going to be the big one. This was going to be the good one. And where we are now, kids are out of school. What, last week? Where do you want to go? Chick-fil-A. Get there. You know how long that line is?
Doesn't matter.
Mile long takes 5 minutes. They know exactly what they're doing. It's efficient. You get on with your life and everybody's happy.
Guys, that Raiders loss was at home in Baltimore. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We address that.
Yes.
I appreciate that, though, from the 913. Friend of friends. Text line, Dusty, handshake.
Yeah.
Do you agree, though, like, Mac? Like, I know you kind of have to
see. I mean, Binkley, that's not just it from Binkley. Go through his feed from yesterday.
Oh,
yeah.
But oh, he was still going. Wow, good
I feel
him.
Like Mac keeps this honest. Like, I know Baltimore is good. I think they're still the third best team in the AFC. But, like, being the third best chicken sandwich is still a big gap from
that's
the
a
best.
A huge gap, man. Yeah, right? I'd agree. I think the defense, I think if you put last year's defense on this year's Ravens team,
yeah,
but yeah,
can't
they can't do
you
that.
You can't do that.
If you put this defense on the 2018 Chiefs team,
they're undefeated. Yeah. They are,
oh, wait, no they question. Are,
they are undefeated.
There's no argument there for me at all. This defense on the 2018 team, they're undefeated. That would have gone down as the greatest team in NFL history. But like Binkley tweets yesterday, 12 hours ago, so after the night game wrapped up, which NFL team will the national media blow smoke up their ass this week as the best team? Vikings and Ravens have let them down. It won't be the back-to-back undefeated Super Bowl champs. Doesn't fit their narrative. Next tweet. Ravens, 32 ranked pass defense by 20 yards a game, 26th in points per game. I know. Facts suck.
Before we get to this next team that I think might be dead in the water.
Jets?
No, they're belly up.
they're floating, man.
This was a $10 bet that won $185,000 over this weekend. So you know Sunday was National Tight End Day.
That's right.
Somebody put in a 9 leg parlay of tight end scoring touchdowns, and it hit Kyle Pitts, Kate Otten, Mark Andrews, David Njoku, Travis Kelce. What's that? That is Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid. There's another name. I can't think of what it says.
Kittle?
But Kittle's on there. Damn. And then there's Tucker Kraft.
Damn.
$10. The odds were 1852013, $185,000 bet.
When do you think they started giving him cash out options?
I mean,
after the noon games.
Touchdown prop ones are tough, that's for sure.
Oh my God.
Just, but yeah, could you imagine would we see you this morning if you won $185,000?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's enough to go away.
You'd see me. My mic wouldn't go off. I wouldn't shut the hell up about it.
So you hear about this bet, guys?
Yeah, because by the time you divvy up, the government gets their take and all that. I mean, it's a nice chunk of change, but I don't think it's retirement type.
Oh, hell
money.
No.
Good hell. The text line from the top row. People are getting stabbed over the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Good connection to Baltimore there.
Oh, my. Jeez.
Good Lord, that's hilarious. One team that I'll admit this. I like to stir the pot, right? I think it's fair assumption to make. So every Monday I come in here and Drew's always in his bangle orange. He's in it today.
Is he?
He is.
Well, you got to support the team.
He's still got the blonde locks. Okay. And Cody and Alex are sitting out there. And Alex just like looking at me like with that same Alex Gold look. He always gives me like, what's he about to say? And, you know, Drew's immediate reaction was, I guarantee the Chiefs lost. People still come in their Chiefs hoodie. And Alex is like, I would not. And I was like, is it over? And Cody goes, they have no real credible resume. They have one win against Patrick Mahomes.
No, he said they don't have a great resume, to which I said, they don't have a resume.
And my problem with Cincinnati is that I love Burrow because Burrow never does the talking.
Right.
Burrow never opens his mouth. He just kind of is the quarterback of a team where he's probably at times gone back to his house and be like, oh boy, here we go again. Jamar said it. But this was him after the game on Sunday. It's a wrecking ship in Cincinnati. It's sinking fast.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, I mean, I think they paid Jamar, but I don't know at this point.
What if this season goes out of control? So you're halfway through, roughly,
halfway
right?
There, out of control.
You're 3-5. Mm-hmm. Double that up. You're 6-10. Maybe you're maybe you're 7-10 to finish the season, just for argument's sake, right? Mm-hmm. You're 3 games under 500. Right. A, does Jamar want to stay?
I think he always wants to be with Joe.
No, I want to stay.
You do?
Yeah, because he leads the league in receiving yards and touchdowns. So I think he loves his connection with Joe Burrow.
But are they going to pay him enough where he does love staying in Cincinnati?
Yeah, Mac has a point he's about to say that's pretty good.
Well, I think his agent should tell him, hey, man, they've allowed you to do and say whatever the hell you want. You're not going to be able to be an asshole wherever you go. You're going to be in the streets.
You can't say that on the air.
Oh, really? Can I not?
No.
Hopefully you dumped it.
I did. I did, too. Oh, I'm so sorry. No. Oh, because of the age.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. That's my fault.
Believe me, son, if we could say that on the air, I would have said that years ago and continued it.
Sorry.
Dear Lord, we apologize for that mishap on the show.
Won't be the last.
Oh. God, yes. I've wanted to use that word for years. I can't. You can say that.
I knew that.
You can say plenty of things on the air.
Crazy. That is wild. 52 connections between those two guys.
Right down. Yeah.
God. Why do people want to continue to go with the narrative that he's washed? Why do people
Who's
want to
saying that?
Well, Carrington.
Still?
I would imagine. Oh. Yeah, it's early yet. It's only 9:35.
I don't take my nap between 2 and 6. I'm kidding.
I'll ask my wife because that's her favorite show. What did Carrington say about Kelsey today?
No,
he's washed again. Kelsey can't play.
I just think that
10 for 90 and a touchdown.
Yeah, dominated yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to the Cincinnati thing, I think that Cincinnati, and I think the text line made a really good point here. They said, I think everybody's just obsessed with seeing Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes play. Totally agree. Been good football games when they
it's
do
great
play.
For the league. It's a lot of fun.
But like we had mentioned 2 weeks ago with the San Francisco 49ers coming to town or going to there, and we're like, is it considered a rivalry? And people are like, well, if they don't win, it's not. Is Cincinnati and Kansas City still a rivalry?
Yeah. Oh, for me, it is.
Cincinnati's 0 for their last 3.
I know, but it's a rivalry because I don't like the fans, and I had a bad fan experience, so screw you.
Yeah, they told your daughter to shut up or something?
Basically taunting her, yeah.
Okay.
14-year-old wearing her Chiefs jersey, you know. Go away, old man. You're in
Somebody
your 60s.
Says yes, every day with Dot, still saying Travis Walsh. I can't believe that. That can't be true.
Not every day, right? Every third day, maybe? I don't know, Rob. I think this tight end, he's seen better days. I agree, Carrington. 87's no good. 10 for 90 and a touchdown.
That's not true. That's not
Why
true.
Why is that always the voice?
I don't know.
That's not accurate. I love
it,
though.
Grumpy old men from the Muppets.
Let me tell
you something, Carrington. This tight end, he's doing too much dancing with that Taylor Swift.
Somebody says,
I agree, Rob. Two of them together are like American sweethearts. It's really sickening. He's got to play football. 10 for 90 and a touchdown.
Joe in Gladstone says Bill Belichick to the Patriots next year.
To where?
The Bengals, I'm sorry.
Now.
I will say, I think when we go to Tough Tuesdays, I think our boy's on the list again. I think Zach Taylor's
going to be on the list. I don't think Belichick's getting ready to marry this 23-year-old now.
Is he really?
I heard, it's imminent.
Don't do it.
Jeez.
Don't do it.
So.
Somebody says, and that was Max last second. Because we can't drop it on the stream, unfortunately.
No, the stream's okay. Yeah. That's not governed.
Yeah.
It's fine. The airwaves. Even though we're on the FM, you can't do the good
Mac,
words
what did
still.
You say?
No.
Okay.
Jamar Chase is a jerk.
Oh, I love
just casually just call them. Can't say that.
Sorry about that.
I'm just glad I'm not the new guy anymore.
Yeah. That was a good point, too. Damn
Our
it.
Friend John Stoner tweets me. He texts me. He goes, run for the dump button. Run. Yes.
Oh, man. That's great.
Damn it. Carried away.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I see him.
Is your camera on?
No, I wish.
Why not?
It needs to be on at all times.
Yeah, dude, look, show the people how much you're blushing right now.
Yeah, you're so red in the face.
It's okay.
In the face!
What people love in radio is self-deprecation.
Oh, hey, that's fine. There it was great, yeah. It's wonderful.
I mean, I once got pranked that the SEC was coming to fine me $1,100.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
Who did that to you? Hanson?
It was Nick Schwartz and Alex Gold.
Oh.
I mean, I was convinced. And then I went off on them. Like, I literally thought, because the thing is.
What'd you say?
I thought I said, he sent a D-pick on the air. And they were like, you can't say that. They had it in a FedEx, like,
they really like took it to the next level.
Typed out a bunch of hogwash. Oh, and I just like read, and I was like sitting there, and I was like, well, I have to pay this fine. Even Speck was in on it.
Oh, that's fantastic. No way. I had no idea. That's wonderful.
I would have freaked out. And Speck, I like went to his office because like I was going to go to his office because I was like, all right, well, then if I'm fired, I'm ripping everything I can on the air. And Nick was like, no, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. And I was like, oh, dude, I was about to just go off.
That's a bad joke.
Yeah, I was terrified. Yeah, that's
not very funny.
For a number of reasons. Number one, scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
But also to put you in a bad situation. We're like, well, screw it. I guess I'm fired. And then you go, and then you do get fired, you know?
Oh, I was going to go out with a bang, dude. I was about to rip the other radio station in town, people that I've worked for over there. I was about to rip, like, everybody, dude. I was about to rip this station. I was going to go full Whitlock, dude. Like, I'm serious. I was going to bar the door and make you have to get in, like, security to take me out. But I will say this. It was a good radio moment. It made for good radio. But, you can say ass.
You can't say
you
the other
can't
word.
Say the other word after that.
No, you cannot say that, no.
Coming over the other side, we get to our brioche of the weekend. I might have just had mine from Mac Moore.
I mean, that was fantastic.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's true.
So bottle in that take for tomorrow because Fesco will be going all in on those greeny jets.
But let's talk about that for a second, though.
I mean, I don't want to.
It doesn't work when you do this with quarterbacks. It worked with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is an anomaly with everything, just like Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly with everything, right?
He worked.
He won a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. So like by building a team?
Yeah, like bringing the quarterback that's done with his team after 20 years and putting him into another situation.
Okay, so Tampa.
Yeah.
Is okay.
Yeah, like it worked with Tampa. It worked with Tom Brady.
Sure.
It didn't work with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't a winner. Like you can sit there and say he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, based on his stats, he is. Based on his successes, based on his championships, based on actually winning, he's not a winner. Aaron Rodgers hasn't won a Super Bowl since 2010, right? He hasn't even been to a Super Bowl since 2010.
Peyton Manning's like the only other example of this working.
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
And that's a different example, too.
And I'll be honest with you, Peyton Manning didn't win that Super Bowl. That defense Super Bowl, right?
That Super Bowl that he won, he was benched.
He was. The Chiefs broke him, and he was benched. But
six picks.
They didn't build and basically give him the keys to the operation in Denver. They did not do that at all. They did not turn over the operation to him like the Jets did to Aaron Rodgers. They gave him the keys to the kingdom.
Von Miller and that defense won that Super
Bowl. Yeah, absolutely.
Von Miller ripped the ball out of Cam Newton's hands, and the game was over, and then Cam Newton didn't want to get on top of a fumble, and it was like, okay, this is done.
This is done. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's big on the NFL's no good anymore and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, shucks.
All right. You know, he grew up in the 80s and all this kind of stuff, right? I get it. Fine. You don't think the NFL's great anymore. Feel whatever you want to feel.
It was terrible in the 80s.
But I will tell you this. The quarterbacks in the NFL today, and really in any day, there's not many good ones, right? And if a team allows a quarterback to leave, that should raise red flags for everybody. When Seattle was willing to trade Russell Wilson, Denver should have had red flags. When Green Bay was willing to trade Aaron Rodgers, the Jets and everybody else should have had red flags go up because there are not enough good quarterbacks in this league. There are not enough average quarterbacks in this league. And if a team is giving up on a quarterback that has had success, you have to ask yourself the question, wait a second here. Why are they giving up Russell Wilson to get to Geno Smith? Mm-hmm. Why are they giving up on Aaron Rodgers to get to Jordan Love, who nobody knew anything about at that point in time? When teams give up on quarterbacks that are really good and they go to another team, you have to say to yourself, if it's too good to be true, then you know what? It probably isn't true. And Aaron Rodgers is a farce. Aaron Rodgers is a scam artist. Aaron Rodgers is one of those people that sets up shop, takes advantage of people, and moves on. He's a grifter. Mm. He's grifted into New York and has been one of the great grifters in sports for the last 2 years. Mm. He is a fraud, and there's no other way to put it. Aaron Rodgers is a fraud. And so when these quarterbacks come available that
have had
this great track record, now all of a sudden they're available. Ask yourself the question, why is this team giving up on this guy? Because they're tired of their act.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah. Good take.
So you're saying he's been an act hole?
You could say that one, Daddy. My brioche of the weekend goes to Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Kyler Murray was 26 of 36 for 307 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Not many 300-yard days in the NFL.
He was also one of my cover twos. That's right. I remember the show. I wanted him to bury the fish. Miami. Out of here,
actually,
mister.
It's a mammal.
Yeah, well, they're gone. Either way, the fish are, the Dolphins are done. They are finished. They are just cooked.
Done.
They're out. It's over. The head coach is stale. They brought Tua back just to lose. Now, if they were smart, they'd let Tua rest the rest of the season because they're not going to play for anything meaningful. Maybe you should play for a draft pick and go get a quarterback who isn't really available in that draft as well. But Kyler Murray, back to the main point, 26-36, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns, brought his team back again, won a game, has started to develop that connection with Marvin Harrison Jr., and it is beautiful. I'm not going to lie. The corner pass in the end zone was
nice.
2-tap boom in there, got in there. Marvin Harrison Jr. obviously is elevating the play of Kyler Murray. Call of Duty is out, and Kyler Murray is 2-0 since.
2-0 since Kyler Murray came in.
Hey, nice.
There you go. Who's your brioche of the weekend?
I got to go... kind of just seeing a glimpse of what this Chiefs offense is going to end up being. Because everyone's, oh, the Chiefs offense can't score, it's boring. 7-0, exactly, all those things. But 7-0 on top of, oh yeah, this Chiefs offense is going to end up being a top five unit in the league. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. Book it, whatever you want to do. They're going to be one of the best running teams in the league. And we know what they have. They've got a top five offensive line, Patrick Mahomes, and oh yeah, now they have not just the best third down option in Travis Kelce, one of the other best third down options in the league in DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
Add that on with the rookie's speed. Mm-hmm. You got some reliable guys in Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman. This offense is going to be incredible. And we just saw a taste of it this week. And I'm excited.
To defend you, they are 11th in total yards, 12th in passing yards, 13th in rushing yards, 9th in points.
Top 10 offense in points.
And 2nd on third down efficiency, 50%.
And 1st in success rate.
Are excellent on third down defense. 2nd in the league. Their best since 2001. Here comes a blitz. Mahomes near side. Caught! DeAndre Hopkins with a diving catch goes down on his left hip and points the right hand forward for a first down at the 46. And a gain of 12 yards.
So there it was. DeAndre Hopkins' first catch. Mark my words. This is the week. This Monday night game. This is the breakout game for DeAndre Hopkins. Get excited about it. Get your number 8 jerseys because I think they're going to get him involved big on Monday night against the Buccaneers. All right, for me, I don't go many Dallas Cowboys a lot. Trayvon Diggs is the brioche of the weekend.
Took from that? Out of that whole play that you took from that? You don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon.
I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Question. Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
We can talk about it more. What were you doing?
Trayvon Diggs to a reporter. Talk about D's nuts.
Yeah. Meltdown in Dallas continues.
It's going good in Dallas, isn't it?
Have we separated the pack? Like, are we separated, like, after week 8? Like, are we there? Like, there's these 10 teams that are actually legit going to be playoff teams, and then everybody else is. Because what? Miami's done. Dallas is done. Jets are done. Panthers have been done. Bucks are done. I mean, Bucks have lost 2 to Atlanta. The South is over in the NFC. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's winning the South.
South is over, but the Bucks are done in the playoffs, you think?
No, but okay, I mean, the South
division,
is over.
Yeah, that's fair.
Division's over in the South. The West, watch the Rams win the West.
Come on, Deese. Deese nuts.
Jay Binkley. AFC North is not over. AFC East is over.
Who's winning that, Washington?
Buffalo's winning the AFC East.
Oh, AFC. I thought you said NFC.
NFC East. Philadelphia's giving you some sort of, Sirianni will choke it up, but Washington looks great. They went on a Hail Mary. That just seems like foreshadowing. Dan Quinn going to win Coach of the Year, too. So Andy Reid's odds are going to go down.
Bet him. If Andy Reid goes undefeated or even has one loss, he's got to be the Coach of the Year. I don't care what Dan Quinn does in Washington.
NFC North, I think, is over. I think with the Detroit Lions beating Minnesota.
Detroit has asserted themselves.
I think it's
come on, Deese. Deese nuts.
Have they played Green Bay?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, they haven't played Green Bay. They played them this weekend. That division is not over. So, at Green Bay this weekend.
The pack is getting separate.
I agree.
Green Bay, Detroit this weekend?
At Green Bay.
What time?
I believe that's a 3 o'clock game.
It better be. It better be 3:25.
Why isn't that Sunday night?
Should be Sunday night. It's 3:25.
That'll be the game, only game on Fox, because that's an NFC matchup. Yeah. So, yeah, that's your matchup there. Do you want to know what your Sunday night game is? I bet you're thrilled. It's Indianapolis and Minnesota Vikings. But tonight.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's Indianapolis in Minnesota. Sunday Night Football.
Flex it.
Why was that game not flexed out?
Why was that game ever on Sunday Night Football?
That's what I'm saying. But because
before the season, you're like, man, Anthony Richards and Sam Darnold really does it for me.
This is what you're getting Sunday night?
Man, tired. I ain't going to lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did. And I don't think I was going to be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
So Anthony Richardson quit on his team and now gets the opportunity to play on Sunday night.
He gets to wait all day for it, so he'll be rested.
Hopefully he is rested. Yeah.
Happy Sports Equinox Day today.
Yes.
You have football, baseball, basketball, hockey.
All of it tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Get lathered up.
I'll have to wear duct tape tonight.
Big sports night.
Yeah. I mean, tons of NBA action. You have World Series Baseball Game 3 in the Bronx. And then you have Monday Night Football, obviously. You have the Giants at the Steelers.
Tickets plummeted for tonight's Game 3.
Really? Because they kept losing?
Get-in is now 922 as opposed to 1,300.
There are 1, damn. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 NBA games on tonight.
Here we go.
Capped off with the Lakers at the Suns. Lakers 3-0 height, though.
Really? 11 NBA games?
How about the
Lakers? Who's watching preseason basketball?
They've beaten good teams, too. I know. Quit saying that.
Did you see Bronny James is now going to go both ways and go to the G League and go here and go there? Like, he's going to be a two-way player? Nobody saw that coming, did they?
They did. That's what his contract said. And it's fully guaranteed. Thanks, Dad. Go do nice things for somebody. Kidding. It's a new week. It's Monday. Go do a nice thing for somebody. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe and stay kind. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next, Cody Engle.